places, you know, around the area. As you may know, here we're here for part two of a two-part discussion series to discuss, you know, different views Christianity and Islam have on different topics. Last night, they spoke about their respective religious books. And tonight, they'll be talking about Jesus, peace be upon him. This series aims to bring understanding to both views and to bring cohesiveness of all parties. You know, we live in one country, we should understand each other and appreciate each other's faiths and beliefs. Tonight, we'll first have Islam talking about their point of view, and then Andrew will be talking about Christian's point of view afterwards. Talking about Islam's point of view is Suhail Chaudhry, who is the imam, former religious leader of the Islamic Center of Morgantown. The mosque is located in Morgantown, it's the only one in the area, and it caters to Muslims. It's very active within the community. And Suhail, who became the imam of the mosque in 2004, he came from Pakistan to further his education, and he obtained a degree here in Western University in computer engineering. He's been an integral part of the community here. Among being the imam of the mosque, he's also a federal prison chaplain. He teaches a course at Western University called the History and Practice of Islam. He also teaches the mosque's weekend school, where I used to tell him I was little, he used to teach me. So I'd like to apologize again, as I did last night. Of course, these are just a few examples of his contributions.
I was just told that I just got
done. Without further delay, I'd like to hand it over to Suhail.
Okay. Welcome everyone, once again, second night. I'd like to thank everyone who turned out last night, and all of you once again who have taken out the time from your busy schedules to attend and participate in this very important event. I'd like to thank the Glen Oaks Church and the Islamic Center of Morgantown for organizing this event, and I hope that this will bring more understanding and will help in building the bridges between the two communities. Since we live with each other, we should not live with each other in ignorance. We need to know each other. We need to understand each other's points of view. Even if we disagree, we need to disagree in a good manner, in a manner which is acceptable for civilizations to be living in, communities to be living in or being part of this culture. So I'm very thankful to, first of all, to God, Allah, who gave me the opportunity to be part of such events. And secondly, to all of you and the communities, Morgantown community. I'm really blessed to be part of this larger Morgantown community. I came here when I was a 17-year-old, and I have learned and grown so much over the years being part of the Muslim community and especially being part of the academic setting at WVU. So I thank you for that. Starting once again in the name of our Creator, the one who created us, Allah, all praise and thanks are due to Him alone. I seek refuge with Allah from the evil of my soul and the evil of my deeds. Whosoever is guided by Allah cannot be misguided. Whosoever is rebellious, there is no guidance for such a soul. I bear witness in open testimony that there is no God worthy of worship except one God. And I bear witness that Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the final messenger of God. Tonight's topic is a very important topic. It is regarding a person who is surrounded with a lot of controversy. There are those today who claim that there was no such person in history called Jesus, peace be upon him. I happen to meet such people all the time. I have seen documentaries made on this subject, and you know, it is sad that we deny the existence of one of the great leaders in human history. So tonight I'm going to try to present the Islamic perspective on who Jesus was, peace be upon him, and what his real message was, and what do Muslims really believe about Jesus, peace be upon him. And as I said last night, whenever we say the name of a great prophet, or any prophet, we say, peace be upon him, out of our reverence, out of our respect, out of our love for these great human leaders. So we'll continue. The topic is Jesus in Islam. So I hope that by the end of this presentation, you are able to get a clear understanding of who Jesus was, according to the Islamic tradition, if I can figure out how this works first. There you go. So before we can understand the role of Jesus in Islam, we need to understand what a prophet is according to Islam and what role does a prophet play. Islam teaches us that Allah Almighty, He appoints human beings as messengers who carry His message to the rest of the world. These prophets are regular human beings like you and me. They breathe oxygen like you and me. They need food to survive like you and me. They have families like you and me. The only difference is that God Almighty has chosen them because of their high character, because of their high morals. They are the best people in their communities. So Abraham, peace be upon him, was the best person of his time. So God chose him as a messenger. Moses, peace be upon him, was the most righteous person of his time. So God chose him as his messenger. Jesus, peace be upon him, was the most upright person of his time. So God chose him as his messenger. And the same for Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. The first man and woman on earth, according to Islam, are Adam and Hawa in Arabic, or Eve, according to the biblical tradition. We have no problems in believing that. And they were true worshippers of God. These days, in the religious circles, there is a theory about religious evolution. According to this theory, they say that we started off as pagans. Human race started off as pagans, as polytheists, and as time went on, we became monotheists. Islam disagrees with that completely. Islam says it's the other way around. We started off as monotheists. Adam and Eve were not pagan worshippers. Adam and Eve did not worship idols. They worshipped one God. But as time went on, and the human communities grew, people invented false gods. So people started worshipping idols. People started worshipping the sun and the moon. People started worshipping other human beings, the spirits. So what happened is we started off as monotheists, and then from time to time, we drifted away from the straight path, and we became polytheists, or we invented false gods. We deviated from the straight path. Whenever the human beings would deviate from the straight path, Allah or God Almighty would send a prophet. So that is the role of a prophet. The prophet would always come and bring people back to the worship of one God. And in human history, we have had many, many, many prophets. Allah sent a total of 124,000 prophets in human history. So in every civilization, in every age, in every country, in every time, Allah had sent a prophet. That is why you find in the ancient Egyptian history, people like Akhenaten talking about one God. He might have been a prophet of God. We have people in the Native American history in this part of the world, people who came out of these tribes and said there is one God. Those might have been prophets of God. We are not told the names and stories of each and every prophet in the Quran. We only know 25 prophets by name and stories. And most of these 25 are shared between Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. So we recognize most of them as true prophets of God. Adam, peace be upon him, was the first prophet of God, first man on earth, and the first prophet of God who received revelation from God. And Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the final prophet of God. So, as Muslims, we do not claim that Islam started with Muhammad. That's a misconception. Many people think Islam started with Muhammad, peace be upon him. As Muslims, we say Islam ended with Muhammad, peace be upon him. Adam was the first Muslim. Adam was the first prophet. Then after him came Noah, peace be upon him. After him came Abraham, peace be upon him. Then from Abraham came Ishmael and Isaac, peace be upon them. Then from Isaac's line came Jacob, peace be upon him, and Joseph, peace be upon him. And then later on we have Moses and Aaron, and David and Solomon and Job, and a multiple, you know, number of prophets came from that line. Peace be upon all of them. And then from the line of Ishmael came the final messenger of God, Muhammad, peace be upon him. So we believe in all those prophets of God, and it is an article of faith in Islam to believe in all of these messengers. You cannot pick and choose. So I cannot say, well, I like Jesus, peace be upon him, but Moses, I don't think he was a prophet of God. I cannot do that. Or I cannot say I like Abraham, but Muhammad, maybe, maybe not. I cannot do that. You either take the whole package or you leave the whole package. That is how Islam is. You do not pick and choose and invent your own religion out of it, because it is a revelation from the Lord of the worlds. All the prophets from Adam to Muhammad, peace be upon him, came with the same message. One God. That was their message. They all came to bring people back from the worship of idols, from the worship of false gods, to the worship of the one creator who had created all of us, and the one we will go back to after we die. And that is why Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, we the prophets of God are brothers from different mothers. That's how he described his relationship with the other prophets. He said, we're all brothers. So he called himself the brother of Abraham and Moses and Jesus and David and all these other prophets of God, peace be upon all of them. But he said, the only difference is we are born in different times, in different families, through different mothers. So we are brothers from different mothers. And that's how the Muslims see the relationship between Islam and the prophets of Islam, or the previous prophets before Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Before we talk about Jesus, peace be upon him, we need to talk about a woman. It's a very important woman. Sometimes, in some religions, or in some understandings of the life of Jesus, peace be upon him, this woman is neglected. This woman is neglected. Like they say, behind every great man, there is a great woman. And that is true in the case of Jesus, peace be upon him. That is true in the case of most of these prophets of God. So who is this woman? There's an entire chapter named after this woman, and this woman is Mary, the mother of Jesus, peace be upon him. In the Quran, there is an entire chapter which talks about Mary, her struggles, her righteousness, her purity, how good she was, what kind of character she had, how pure she was, how sinless she was, and it praises her. It praises. The Quran praises Mary, the mother of Jesus, peace be upon him. And that is why when we say Mary, we also say peace be upon her. Allah says in the Quran, God says in the Quran, and I'm sure you're able to read it, or are you able to see that? Here, do you want us to change the light? Let us know if you're not able to see this. So the verse says, Mary, the daughter of Imran, in the Bible, Joshim, who guarded her chastity, we blew therein from our spirit. She believed in the words of her Lord and his scriptures, and was amongst the devoutly obedient. So in this verse, God introduces Mary, a Jewish woman who lived 600 years before the time of Muhammad, peace be upon him, who has come to Arabs. This is important, because before Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, there was no praise in the Arab tradition for any Jew. And there was no praise in the Jewish tradition for any Arab. And that still continues, unfortunately. But the Quran is the first book which was revealed to the Arabs which praised Jewish people, which praised others besides the Arabs. And one of them is the mother of Jesus, Mary, peace be upon her. So in this verse we learn that God says a few things about Mary. Number one, that she guarded her chastity. She is not an immodest woman, an immoral woman. She's somebody who was pure in her character. She guarded her chastity. And then God blew in her from God's spirit. She was a righteous spirit. She was a special spirit created by God. She had a soul which was beautiful. She had a soul which was pure. She believed in the words of the Creator. She believed in the scriptures. She was not a disbeliever in the scriptures which had come before. She was a believer in the scriptures of God, and was amongst the obedient ones. Because some of us, we believe in the scriptures, but we don't obey the scriptures. Jesus, peace be upon him, was not like that, and Mary, peace be upon her, was not like that. Mary, peace be upon her, she not only believed in the scriptures, but she obeyed the scriptures. And that is what made her a great woman. In another verse, Allah says about Mary, So her Lord fully accepted her, Mary, and raised her in an exceptional manner, and placed her in Zechariah's guardianship. Prophet Zechariah, peace be upon him, is another great prophet of God. Mary was given to him to be a guardian. Zechariah was the one who took care of Mary when she was young. She was raised in the temple in Jerusalem under the care of Prophet Zechariah, peace be upon him. So subhanAllah, or as we say in Arabic, glory be to God, behind every great man there is a woman, and behind every great woman there is a man. And that's how things work out, and that's what the relationship between men and women should be. We should help each other becoming great. Zechariah, peace be upon him, made Mary, peace be upon her, great, and Mary, peace be upon her, made Jesus, peace be upon him, great. And that's the relationship between these righteous people. The angel said to Mary, O Mary, indeed Allah has chosen you and purified you, and on this day has chosen you above all the women of the earth. According to Islam, Mary is the best woman of all times. If you want to pick one woman in human history and say who was the best of the best, and you ask this question to a Muslim, he will not say the wife of Muhammad. He will not say the mother of Muhammad. He will not say the daughter of Muhammad. He will say the mother of Jesus. Peace be upon him. Mary, peace be upon her, was the best woman of all times, because we have no other argument. We cannot argue with God. God is the one who is making that claim and giving her this blessing that she is the best woman of all times. So I want us to understand that Mary is seen in this very high stature. She is a noble woman in Islam. She is considered to be a great role model for Muslim women. And that's why Muslim women cover up the way they do. Many people do not know, why do Muslim women cover up the way they do? It's because Mary, peace be upon her, is their role model. She used to cover up modestly. She used to cover her hair. She used to dress in loose clothing. So that's the one they are following. So it is very sad when I hear criticism from the Christian community regarding Muslim women covering up, because really they are not criticizing anyone but Mary, peace be upon her, when they do that. Now talking about Jesus, peace be upon him, Allah says in the Quran, and when the angel said, O Mary, Allah gives you the glad tidings of a word from him whose name is the Messiah, Jesus, the son of Mary, held in honor in this world and the hereafter, and will be among those close to Allah. He shall speak to the people when in cradle and when in maturity, and shall be of the righteous. I have underlined in this verse the most important characteristics which God talks about regarding Jesus, peace be upon him. He is the word from God. He is the word of God. As Muslims, we believe Jesus is a word of Allah, and we will discuss how he is a word of Allah. He is the Messiah, and we will discuss what a Messiah means in the Islamic tradition. He is held in honor in this world and the hereafter. What a great human being he was. He is successful in this world, held in honor in this life, but not just in this life, in the next life as well, the eternal life as well. And he is amongst those who are close to Allah. What greater success could one have than being close to the Creator, being close to your God, the one who created you, the one who loves you. So he is the one close to him, and he will speak to people while he is a baby, and when he becomes mature, and we're going to see some verses which talk about that, and he is amongst the righteous. So, for a Muslim, if somebody says anything degrading about Jesus or Mary, the Muslim is going to be very angry. People today, they think that Muslims, they get crazy when Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is abused in the media or things are said about him. But the same reaction you would see in the Muslim countries from the Muslims, if Jesus or his mother or any great prophet of God is desecrated, is humiliated, or is being verbally abused in the media or by anyone, because of these kinds of verses in the Quran. Muslims believe in his miraculous birth. Today there are Christian groups who do not believe in the miraculous birth of Jesus. 1.5 billion Muslims in the world believe that Jesus was born miraculously, because the Quran says so. Because Allah says so. Allah says in the Quran, she said, my Lord, how can I have a child when no man has touched me? Mary, peace be upon her, was not married. and she was a chaste woman. So she said, how can I deliver a baby? How can I have a baby? He said, so be it. Allah creates whatever He wills. Whenever He decrees a matter, He only says to it, be, and it is. That's why Jesus, peace be upon Him, is a word of God. He is literally a word which God spoke. God said, be, and He came into existence. Miraculous birth. He did not have to go through the regular cycles of birth which you and me have to go through. Mary, peace be upon her, was not married, and yet she delivered Jesus, peace be upon Him. And that is a miracle of God which happened with Jesus, peace be upon Him. But that being said, Muslims do not believe that since Jesus, peace be upon Him, did not have a father, a human father, so God must be His father. I have heard this argument a lot from some people. They say, well, if He didn't have a father, then God must be His father. But God Himself answers that question. He says, indeed, the example of Jesus with Allah is like that of Adam. He created Adam from dust and said to him, be, and he was. If Jesus, peace be upon Him, is the Son of God, just because He did not have a father, then Adam, peace be upon Him, should be a greater Son of God because he doesn't even have a mother. Adam, peace be upon Him, did not have a mother, did not have a father. So that argument is not taken in the Islamic tradition as a good argument. Because Allah creates miracles and He does not need to justify those miracles in human terms. So He created Adam without a mother and a father. He created Eve without a mother but with a father. Because Eve was created from the rib of Adam. And for us, we are created with mothers and fathers, and Jesus, peace be upon Him, was created without a father but through a mother. So these are all miracles in the creation of God. He defended His mother. When Mary, peace be upon her, she came back after giving birth to Jesus, people accused her. People said, what happened to you? You were a righteous woman. Where did you get this baby from? Have you committed adultery? Have you committed fornication? So she pointed to Him, the baby. She pointed at the baby Jesus. And they said to her, what has happened to you? Do you want us to speak to a baby in the cradle? Is the baby going to answer our accusations? Jesus, peace be upon Him, miraculously spoke. He said, indeed, I am a servant of Allah. I am a servant of Allah. He has given me the scripture and appointed me a prophet. As a baby, Jesus is defending His mother. And He says, He has made me blessed wherever I may be, and He has enjoined upon me prayer and charity for as long as I live. Dutiful and dedicated to my mother, He has not made me rash and arrogant. Jesus, peace be upon Him, defends His mother because they're accusing her. He says that I am a messenger of God. I am a prophet of God. I am a servant of God. He has appointed me as a prophet. And I am blessed wherever I may be. And God has enjoined upon me prayer and charity for as long as I live. And I am not an arrogant person. God has not created me arrogant. He has created me soft, humble, dedicated, in servitude to my mother. And that's His relationship to His mother. Jesus, peace be upon Him, loved His mother and served His mother like a dedicated son. He is a great example for all of us who have parents, and especially mothers. Then He grows up and He starts performing miracles. Allah says in the Quran, Jesus says, I, Jesus, have come to you with a sign from your Lord. For I mold for you a bird-like sculpture out of clay. I blow into it and it becomes a living bird. This is one of the miracles Jesus used to perform. He would take some clay and fashion a bird with it. And then He would blow into it and the bird would fly off as a real bird. I heal the one who was born blind, the leper, and I revive the dead, all by Allah's permission. All by Allah's permission. Whenever He performs a miracle, He says, it's not me who's performing the miracle. I am not the one behind it. I am not God. I am a prophet of God. Allah is the one who's helping me perform these miracles. So He used to perform these miracles. Muslims believe in all of these miracles. Once again, as Muslims, we cannot pick and choose. We cannot say, I like this miracle, but this one, well, how could He have done it? Scientifically, it's impossible. It doesn't make any sense. No. As Muslims, we believe in all these miracles which Jesus, peace be upon Him, performed. Even Him reviving the dead people. We believe that there were instances where Jesus, peace be upon Him, revived those people who had died. He brought them back to life. But then what was the message of Jesus? What did he call people to? Jesus, peace be upon him, said, "Indeed, Allah is my Lord and your Lord, so worship him alone. This is the straight path." His message was no different than the message of Moses, than the message of Abraham, than the message of Noah, than the message of Muhammad, peace be upon all of them. There is only one Creator, one God. He is my Lord and your Lord. So worship him alone. Do not associate partners with him. This is the only way to God. This is the straight path. In another verse, when Jesus came to them with clear signs, and he said, "I have come to you with a revelation of wisdom, the gospel, and to clarify to you some of the religious matters in which you differ. Therefore, fear Allah and obey me." Fear Allah, your Lord, and obey me, because I am the Prophet of God. Indeed, Allah is my Lord and your Lord, so worship him. This is the straight path. So according to the Islamic tradition, Jesus, peace be upon him, never told the people that he is God. Or never told the people that he is the Son of God. Or never asked the people to worship him. But every time he told them to worship the Creator. The one who had sent him. The one who was his God and our God. The message of Jesus, peace be upon him. Continuing, in another verse, and this is a very, very scary verse. Whenever I read this verse, I am scared. Because Allah in this verse, he says, "Be warned of a day when Allah will say, 'O Jesus, son of Mary, did you say to the people, take my mother and I as divine gods with Allah?' Jesus will say, 'Glory be to you. It was not for me to say something which I have no right to say. Never did I say to them except that which you commanded me to say, to worship Allah, my Lord and your Lord.'" On the day of judgment, Allah will call upon Jesus. And he will put those people who worship Jesus in front of him. And he will say to Jesus, "Did you tell these people to worship you? Did you tell them to worship you and take as gods besides Allah, yourself and your mother?" Jesus will say, "Glory be to you. How could I have said such a thing? I only told them what you told me to tell them, that there is only one God, my Lord and your Lord." So the message of Jesus was clear. He did not come and claim divinity. He did not come and claim to be divine, to be a God, to be worshipped, or to be an intercessor between God and the people. He only came to deliver a clear message. There is only one God. In Islam, we do not have a concept of the original sin. For those of you who are unaware of what the original sin is all about, the original sin goes back to Adam and Eve. They were put in paradise, and they were told not to eat from the tree, from the forbidden tree, yet they ate from it. And from this, they became sinful, and from this, it is believed by some that this sin transferred from Adam and Eve to their children, and from that generation to the next generation, and then to all the human beings. So the belief is that all of us, we are born sinful. When you're born as a baby, you are born sinful. And that is why Jesus, peace be upon him, came down to the earth and sacrificed himself. God purified us with our sin by sacrificing his son, Jesus, peace be upon him. That is the belief. But in Islam, this belief does not exist. In Islam, there is no concept of the original sin. Meaning that Adam and Eve, peace be upon them, they were forgiven for their sin. They committed a sin. They were human beings. Allah created them. Allah knew that they would commit that sin. Allah did not make them perfect, just like he did not make us perfect. Allah knows that we are going to sin. But when we sin and we repent to Allah, Allah forgives us. That's how it works in Islam. That's how it worked in the time of Abraham. That's how it worked in the time of Moses. That's how it worked in the time of Jesus and in the time of Muhammad, peace be upon him. We are sinful, we commit sins, but as soon as we commit a sin and we ask Allah's forgiveness, Allah forgives us because he is merciful. He is merciful, he loves us. He is looking for sincere repentance. And Islam teaches us we are not born sinful. Actually, it's the other way around. We are all born sinless. We are all born pure. When a baby is born, the baby is sinless, pure, is innocent. But as this baby grows older and becomes a man or a woman, then this baby starts committing sins. Or this man becomes an adult and starts committing sins. And that is when this sin will be washed away through repentance. So God does not need, out of his mercy, to send down somebody to die for our sins. In Islam, you are responsible for your sins, I am responsible for my sins. I will go in my grave, you will go in your grave. So we are not responsible for each other's sins. And the way God relieves us of this sin is when we turn back to Him. When we say, oh God, I am sorry. Oh God, I am sinful. I committed this crime, I committed this sin. But I know you are merciful. I know you will forgive me. I know you love me. Oh God, I turn back to you. And if you do that, then Allah will forgive you. He doesn't need to shed blood in order to forgive you. Crucifixion of Jesus, peace be upon him. According to Islam, it is fiction. And that's why I spelled crucifixion in this way. Allah says in the Quran, remember when Allah said, oh Jesus, I will keep you alive and raise you towards me. This was a promise Jesus was given when he was being faced by animosity and enemies. Allah told him, don't worry, I will keep you alive, I will save you from your enemies. Allah did not leave his messenger to be killed, to be crucified by his enemies. Allah defends his messengers. And when I restrained the children of Israel from killing you, at the time you approached them with clear proofs. When Jesus, peace be upon him, went to the Jewish people, to the Romans, and he told them about the clear signs and proofs of the worship of one God, they rejected him. They became his enemies. They wanted to kill him. But Allah says that he prevented them from doing so. So in Islam, we do not believe that Jesus, peace be upon him, was crucified or was killed. In another verse, Allah says, their hearts were hardened because of their saying, we killed the Messiah, Jesus, the son of Mary, the messenger of Allah. But they killed him not, nor did they crucify him. Rather, it only appeared to them that they did so. Indeed, those who are in dispute about the event are full of doubts. They have no certain knowledge about it, for they follow nothing but conjecture. They surely did not kill him. Rather, Allah raised him up unto himself. When the Roman soldiers came looking for him, Allah opened up the roof of his house and he ascended to the heaven alive, never being even touched by any of the soldiers. Allah saved his messenger. He was not crucified. He was not killed. So the whole concept of somebody dying for my sins is thrown out of the window right away in Islamic theology. Because there was no crucifixion of Jesus, peace be upon him. There was no killing of Jesus, peace be upon him. He ascended the heavens alive. Allah saved him. And Allah says in this verse, those people who claim that he was crucified, they are only following hearsay. Hearsay knowledge. Stories invented. Conjecture. Doubts. They are not certain about this knowledge. They do not have the proof, the certain proof of this knowledge. In Islam, we believe that Jesus, peace be upon him, will return in the end of times. We are awaiting his second coming, just like the Jews are awaiting his first coming, and the Christians are awaiting his second coming. We too, the Muslims, are awaiting his second coming. Muhammad, peace be upon him, taught the Muslims that Jesus, peace be upon him, will return in the end of times. He is one of the major signs of the Day of Judgment. When he comes back, the Day of Judgment will be very close. He will descend on the two wings of the two angels wearing yellow garments. A lot of description has been given by Prophet Muhammad on what will happen when he comes back. One of the descriptions is, he will descend and his two hands will be on the shoulders of, or the wings of these two angels, and he will be wearing two yellow garments when he descends. He will descend in the city of Damascus, currently in Syria. Right now there's a lot of violence going on in Syria. But that's where Jesus, peace be upon him, will descend. On the eastern white minaret of the mosque, the great mosque in Damascus. That's where he will descend. He will immediately assume the leadership of the Muslims. He will become their leader. The Muslims will give him the authority right away, will recognize him right away, and he will lead them right away. He will fight the Antichrist and kill him. So in Islam, we also believe that there is somebody called the Antichrist. He will appear in the end of time. And Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, when the Antichrist appears, wait for the Son of Mary to come. Wait for Jesus, peace be upon him, to come. Because he said, nobody will be able to kill the Antichrist but Jesus. So the Muslims will be awaiting Jesus, peace be upon him, when the Antichrist appears. and Jesus will fight him and get rid of him. He will also clarify the events that surrounded his first departure. He will tell all of us that he wasn't crucified. He will tell all of us he wasn't the Son of God. He will tell all of us he never told us to worship him or his mother. He will tell us that there is only one God and he worships that God who sent him. His original message of worshiping one God and leading the believers in righteousness and justice. So he will establish justice on earth. Today we need this justice. Today we need this peace. Who will establish this peace for us in the end of times? Jesus, peace be upon him. That's what the Muslims are waiting for. After establishing this peace on earth, Jesus, peace be upon him, will make pilgrimage to Mecca. That will be his last act of worship. He will make pilgrimage to Mecca, and then he will die a natural death, and he will be buried in the city of Medina. So great details have been given by Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, as to what will happen when Jesus comes back. He will make pilgrimage to Mecca, he will live on the earth for a few years with the believers, establish justice and peace and righteousness, and then he will die and will be buried. What are some of the names mentioned in the Quran about Jesus? The glorious Quran mentions the story of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, 25 times. In 25 different locations of the Quran, you will find Jesus and his story is mentioned. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is only mentioned 5 times. In the entire Quran, Jesus is mentioned 25 times, Muhammad is mentioned 5 times. Once again, that does not mean one is better than the other. From the Islamic point of view, we look at all the messengers of God as equal, coming with the same message, brothers from different mothers. One of the names is his real name, Isa. In Arabic, he is called Isa. His real name actually in Hebrew was Esau, E-S-U. But when the Romans accepted Christianity, they added the J and the S after his name. And from Esau, he became Jesus. Okay? So by the way, if he walks out of this door right now or into this room, and you say, Salaam Alaikum, peace be upon you, Jesus, he will not recognize who you're talking to. Because he never used that name for himself. Nobody called him Jesus while he was living. This was a Hellenized, Romanized version of his name. His real name was Esau, and in Arabic, Isa, same word. He's recognized in the Quran as the son of Mary. He's the only person in the human creation who is named after his mother. Usually, when we're born, we get our last name from our fathers. But he is honored from the last name by giving his mother that position. Allah gives his mother this position of honor, and he calls Jesus the son of Mary in a lot of places in the Quran. He's known as the Messiah. Muslims believe Jesus is the Messiah. The word Messiah in biblical terminology is the word Christos or Christ. That's why people say Jesus Christ. In Arabic or Aramaic or Hebrew, you will say Jesus Messiah or Isa Masih. Okay? Messiah or Masih. What does the word Messiah mean? Literally it means the anointed one, the rubbed one. When you rub something, that is called Masih. The Jewish people, whenever they would appoint a king, they would rub oil on the head of their king. This would be the opening ceremony. And so they would call this act as the act of rubbing or the act of Mas or Masih. So Jesus, peace be upon him, is the anointed one, not by the Jews, not by the human beings, but by God himself. He is the one declared to be the leader of people by God himself in the Quran. That is why he is called the Messiah. Allah also calls him the Word of God. And I told you why he is called the Word of God. Because he was created with a word. Allah said, be, and he came into existence. So he is literally the Word of Allah. He is also called in the Quran, the Spirit of God. But Muslims do not understand this to mean that he is God. What it means is a spirit from God. Because this word Spirit of God in the literature of the scriptures means a spiritual thing. It does not mean a physical Spirit of God. It means he is a spirit from God. Just like Mary is also a spirit from God. God uses the same title for Gabriel. Gabriel, peace be upon him, the archangel, is a spirit of God. Okay? And the Quran, Allah even calls the Quran, it is a spirit of God. So it does not mean a spirit of God in the literal sense, it means a spirit belonging to Allah, a righteous spirit. So these are some of the names of honor by which the Muslims understand and know Jesus. What did Jesus, peace be upon him, say about Muhammad? Last night we had some questions, you know, from the audience said, well, where in the Bible does Jesus mention Muhammad? And I said that his name has been translated, and that's why those translations, you know, are there now, and we do not see the name Muhammad now in the scriptures. But in the Quran, Allah says, and remember when Jesus, the son of Mary, he said, O children of Israel, I am Allah's messenger sent to you, fulfilling the Torah, fulfilling the law. And this was mentioned by Andrew in one of the verses in the Bible, that Jesus did not come to destroy the law, but rather to fulfill it. And the Quran says the same thing that Jesus said, fulfilling the Torah, which was revealed before me, and giving glad tidings of a messenger who will come after me. His name is Ahmad. And Ahmad was one of the names of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. The same root meaning. Ahmad and Muhammad have the same root meaning, which means the exceedingly praised, the praised one, the comforter in the New Testament, and there are many other names for him mentioned in the Old and the New Testament. So Jesus, peace be upon him, did tell the disciples and did tell the people who believed in him that there will be a messenger who will come after me. He will lead you into all truth. I cannot send him until I am here. Only when I go back to my Father, in the spiritual sense, then will I send him, and he will lead you into all truth. What did Prophet Muhammad say about Jesus, peace be upon him? Muhammad, peace be upon him, described Jesus, peace be upon him, as fair-skinned. You know, nowadays there's a lot of controversy. I walked into some churches where I've seen a picture of Jesus, and you see a black Jesus, or you see a white Jesus, or you see a brown Jesus. Everyone is just playing with who Jesus was. Everyone wants to show ownership to Jesus. But in the Islamic tradition, even though Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was an Arab, he was not fair-skinned, he said Jesus was fair-skinned. So we know from this that Jesus was fair-skinned, and Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, described especially his beautiful hair. Jesus, peace be upon him, Prophet Muhammad said that whenever you look at his hair, it will seem to you as if it is dripping with water. It looks wet all the time. But it is not wet. Allah has created it and fashioned it with such beauty that when you look at his hair, it seems to you that it is wet and dripping. So these are some of the descriptions of Jesus given by Prophet Muhammad. In another statement, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said that Jesus, peace be upon him, is closest to me in time and closest to me in love. There was no prophet which came between Jesus and Muhammad. Jesus, peace be upon him, is the second last prophet on earth. And Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the final prophet on earth. There was no prophet between them. So he said, Jesus is closest to me in time and closest to me in love. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, used to love Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. He used to mention him a lot to his companions. He would recite those verses talking about him in the prayer a lot. And he would talk to his companions and tell him about his second coming. So these are words of praise given by Prophet Muhammad for Prophet Jesus. Jesus, peace be upon him, is the Prophet of Islam. Unfortunately, sometimes I feel that certain Christian groups, they feel that they own Jesus. And as soon as somebody else wants to talk about Jesus, they become angry. As if, you know, they have copyrights over Jesus. No, nobody has copyrights over the messengers of God. These messengers of God are everyone's messengers. I have the right to love him as much as anyone else. I have the right to follow him as much as anyone else. So, Jesus is also the Prophet of Islam. Today, 1.5 billion Muslims in the world believe in Jesus. 1.5 billion people on earth believe that Jesus was a real man, that he was a messenger of God, that he was an honorable spirit of God, that he will come back in the end of times. Why do they believe in him? Not because there is historical evidence, not because they're looking for archaeological evidence, not because they believe in the Bible, but because they believe in the Quran. The Quran tells them that Jesus was a real man. The Quran praises Jesus, peace be upon him, and they have no choice but to believe in him. They say peace be upon him whenever his name is mentioned, out of their love, out of their respect. Whenever we say Jesus, we say peace be upon him. Whenever we say Mary, we say peace be upon her, out of our appreciation, out of our, you know, love for these great people, because we feel that they sacrificed a lot. Today I am a Muslim, today I am a true believer in God, because people like Jesus worked hard for me. Because people like Abraham worked hard for me. Because people like Muhammad, they work hard so that this message of one God continues. They love him and teach their children about his story. You go to any Sunday school in the mosque, you will find in the Islamic books, Jesus and his story, Mary and her story. The children, Muslim children, are taught about his stories. They believe in his miracles and the gospel which was given to him, the good news that was given to him. Muslims have no choice but to believe in everything. They await his return for justice and peace to be established on earth. We await his second coming. I am looking forward to being in the company of Jesus when he comes back, if I am living in his time. I am looking forward to supporting him in his mission when he comes back, if I am living in his time. I am looking forward to be resurrected on the day of judgment in the company of these righteous people, like the prophets of God, like Jesus, peace be upon him, like Muhammad, peace be upon him, you know, if God is merciful to me. So with that, I'll end, and I once again encourage you all, do not be blind followers. Do not be blind followers. Islam teaches us to ask questions. Islam teaches us to reflect. Islam teaches us to do your research. Islam teaches us to have an open mind. You want to read the Bible? Very good. I encourage you all to read it. But I also encourage you to read the Quran. I also encourage you to read other scriptures. Know for yourself what these scriptures are saying. Don't just believe in what your parents or your family or your culture, your environment has taught you all your life. Open up. You are better than that. God has given you intelligence. God has given you a mind. Research. Find out the truth for yourself. With that, I hope that I was able to deliver a message which was understandable, which you enjoyed, and it opened up your understanding towards the Islamic understanding or concept of Jesus and his mother, how we look at him and how we love him.